Welcome to the Organic Gardener Podcast. I'm your host, Jackie Marie Beyer. Let's get growing.
Welcome to the show today. I am so excited to be back with Marissa from The Kitchen in Missoula, and we're going to talk a little more about cooking with organic produce, some of the things you maybe grew in your garden or got from your CSA you're not sure what to do with, or you saw at the farmer's market. So welcome back, Marissa.
Well, hello. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. So what's cooking in the kitchen this week?
Well, I know last week we talked about the different stuff we'd gotten from our CSA, and I ended up doing none of what I had talked about.
Oh, no way.
I ended up, I had the house to myself Saturday and didn't really have anything planned, so I decided to make a lasagna.
Ooh.
Because when I make lasagna, it usually takes 4 or 5 hours because I make the sauce from scratch and let it simmer and all that jazz. Mm-hmm. And so what I did, I took the zucchinis and the eggplants I got in the CSA last week, and I sliced them up on my mandolin. So they're thin slices that are really great for layering.
What's a mandolin?
A mandolin is a kitchen gadget, basically, that it's a slicer, and you can get like matchsticks out of it too, all different things. Like it just makes it really great. It's really hard to explain.
Okay.
I did almost slice my finger off using it because the blade is that sharp. So with the eggplant and the zucchini, you lay it sideways and you run it down the mandolin, and then these beautiful long thin slices come out on the underside.
Oh.
So it makes it really easy for layering.
I think my mom got me one of those. Is it like kind of like a grater on a stand?
Yes.
And
yes,
then it's got this thing that's like kind of, it's like a round knob with things that go into the fruit or the vegetable that hold.
Yeah.
The grip.
But I just use the slicer blade. But every time I've used it, I've literally sliced a chunk of finger off. So I'm going to be down to some stubby nubbins here pretty soon if I keep using it like that.
All right. So listeners need to be careful if they have one.
So don't do what I do, folks. So lasagna.
Okay.
So lasagna is one of my favorite things to make. And it's another one of those things that you can kind of utilize as a garbage dump. In like, let's clean out the fridge or let's clean out the vegetable crisper. And that's a lot of what my cooking involves. It's like, okay, I have pork chops in the freezer and I have these vegetables in the fridge and I have this cheese. Like, what can I make with it all? Or I have these apples that are going to go bad. Like, that's a large part in how I cook. So this lasagna came from that. It's like, okay, I've had some lasagna noodles in the pantry that I've had for a while. Let's try and finish this box off and let's use these vegetables while they're still yummy and delicious. And so I sliced the eggplants and the zucchini on the mandolin and laid the eggplant out and salted it. And I just did that while I started making the sauce. And when the salt brings out the water, the moisture, it turns brown a little bit, but it gets crisper. And you just pat it, wipe it off with the paper towel, and it's good to go.
Now, are you putting salt on the zucchinis too?
No, I didn't. You could, okay. I guess. I mean,
the
principle is the same, but they don't really need it, I don't think. But maybe, I don't know. Maybe I'll try that this week, see what happens. So to make the red sauce, I just chopped up half an onion that I had in the fridge. And I had bought a shallot. I really like shallots. I think that I like their taste better than onions. And I try to eat them as often as I can when I find some good ones. So I chopped all that stuff up and I fried it in, I think I just used olive oil. I might have used a little butter. And did that. And then I added, I think I had bought a red pepper as well and added that to the sauce. And let that simmer for a while and then deglazed it with some red wine. So I always put red wine in my red sauce. I think it adds a nice little flavor. And what you can do too, I just learned this on America's Test Kitchen podcast this week. If you are letting something simmer, you know, the whole point of simmering is for the flavors to concentrate. And so that wine flavor will eventually go into the sauce. You know, it'll be accepted by the sauce, I guess. But if you add another splash or two of wine 10 to 15 minutes before you serve it, you're going to get that flavor back.
Oh,
so that's just a little tip I picked up this week that I had never done before. And so deglazing the pan means you put some sort of liquid in. It can be water. It can be chicken stock or broth. It can be wine or beer. It just depends on what you're cooking. And it kind of releases everything up from the bottom of the pan. So you get all those little bits of goodness that sometimes get stuck to the bottom of the pan. And so you do that, and then you add your tomatoes, whether you're adding just a jar of sauce or adding, you know, tomato sauce and canned tomatoes and plum tomatoes, you know. There's a million different ways to make a good red sauce. But what I always do is add some fresh herbs from my garden. So I added some oregano and some rosemary and some thyme just to give it a nice bit of freshness. And so I let that simmer. It was actually a shorter sauce. I only let it simmer for about an hour, mostly because I was getting really hungry and I knew the lasagna was going to have to cook for an hour. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to get it in the oven as fast as possible. So all you do for the lasagna, you get a glass cooking pan, like a Pyrex dish or whatever, spray it with some non-cooking spray just to be on the safe side. And then put about a half a cup of sauce in the bottom layer. Mm-hmm. And then layer your noodles. And then I had made a mixture of, you know, most recipes call for ricotta in lasagna. Mm-hmm. My Grammy used cottage cheese. Because my grandparents, like, they still have their tax receipts from 1961. These people, I love them to death. But they never threw anything away. And they never spent money on something they could have gotten a different way for cheaper, if that makes sense. So my Grammy, who had four boys to feed and husband, like, so yeah, let's like try to stretch our dollars because that's a lot of food you go through. Instead of ricotta, would use cottage cheese. So I got a container of cottage cheese, two eggs, put some Parmesan in, some oregano, some salt and pepper, and then some shredded smoked mozzarella. So you can buy smoked mozzarella at the Good Food Store in Missoula. Mm-hmm. And so I just shredded about half the package into it so that we could have that as a nice creamy layer in the lasagna. And then the other half of the shredded mozzarella went on top of the lasagna.
Okay.
So you just layer, you want to make sure the sauce covers all the noodles. I'm not going to lie. I use the no boil lasagna noodles. They are fast and easy and they are delicious. Like, that I don't ever want to waste my time again boiling lasagna noodles to have them like stick to me and each other when I can just put the no boil ones in the lasagna. It's such a time saver.
Okay. Where do you get no boil? Are they like in the refrigerator? I never heard of no boil lasagna noodles.
They're dried pasta and they're right next to all the dried pastas. Like the ones I use are Berea. And so they're standard and it just says like no boil lasagna noodle on the package. Yeah, okay. Cool. And so so the recipe. So sauce on the bottom, lasagna noodles, and then I do some of the cottage cheese mix, the cheese mix layer, and then I did a layer of sliced zucchini, and then I did sauce all over that, and make sure you push the sauce into the corners and cover everything so that those noodles get enough moisture. And then I did another layer of noodle on top of that so that the noodles and the sauce are in direct contact. Again, so they get enough moisture. And then more cheese mix. And then I did a layer of eggplant, more sauce, and then another layer of noodle. And then I used the rest of the eggplant and zucchini in a third layer of... Oh, I also put a huge wad of spinach in. Like right in the middle, just handfuls of fresh spinach because we had that in our CSA as well.
And you don't cook it, huh?
Nope, I just put it in raw. And okay. I mean, the juices are going to, it's in the oven for an hour, you know, it's going to get cooked.
Cool. That's good to know.
Yeah. And then a final layer of lots of sauce on the top and plenty of cheese. And then you put it in the oven at, I just, you know, 350 is a safe bet for the oven. Mm-hmm. No matter what you're cooking, that's going to get you most of the way for most of the recipes you'll ever find. And so I put it in the oven for 350, I think for like 45 minutes with foil over the top. Oh. And then I took the foil off for the last 15 minutes. So it, I mean, it's in there about an hour. And that way the cheese gets all nice and melty and bubbly, mm-hmm. and a little bit browned. Mm-hmm. And so you take it out after an hour. And the key with lasagna, you need to kind of let it rest, kind of like you do a nice New York steak, mm-hmm. so that all the juices don't flow everywhere. It just kind of give it 10 minutes to set up so that when you slice a square of lasagna out for dinner, everything doesn't go everywhere, mm-hmm. If that makes sense. And there, there's a long-running joke in my family, at least with my cousin and my brother and I. We had all flown back to New Jersey for my grandmother's 85th birthday. This was 7 or 8 years ago. And I spent 5 hours making lasagna for her birthday, you know. And so my dad has 3 younger brothers, and there's only 3 grandkids and, you know, 2 sisters-in-laws. So there's, you know, there were a good dozen people at dinner. And so we fly out from Montana. The next morning, I go to the store, get everything I need for lasagna, and make it that day. And I'll be honest, I started drinking wine in the middle of the afternoon because my family was stressing me out. And my Grammy, God bless her, she comes over and looks over my shoulder. Oh, that looks interesting, dear. And I make eye contact with my mother, and we both just start giggling because whenever Grammy says, oh, that looks interesting, it means she's not quite sure that it's going to taste good. So I was like, yep, Grammy, sauce from scratch. And, you know, but this woman grew up in a generation of margarine and, you know, boxed things. I've recently acquired all her recipes and gone through them. And a lot of it is prepared, you know, can of cream of mushroom soup and frozen corn into a casserole. Like, that's how they cooked in the 50s and 60s. Mm-hmm. And so to see me making lasagna from scratch was, you know, interesting. And so we sit down, and my Aunt Rita, who is Italian, you know, mom is from Italy, and her mom is also there with us. And her mother loved my lasagna, for the record. But she was like, you know, this would taste so much better the next day. And I was like, yeah, you know what? Next time I will make the lasagna in Montana and fly out with a pan of lasagna on my lap, so that it'll taste better the next day. I'm sure TSA would love that. And so for the past 7 years now, my cousin and my brother and I, anytime one of us makes lasagna, we always text a picture of it and a little message. Oh, don't you think this would taste better tomorrow? Oh, too bad. I'm going to eat it tonight. You know, something along those lines. So, and yes, lasagna does taste great the next day, but the key with making it taste great the same day is letting it have that 10 to 15 minute rest period. It's still going to be piping hot. It's still going to be delicious. It's just going to be edible as well. Hopefully in a delicious way. Yeah, so that's our family lasagna recipe.
Excellent.
Yes, indeed. So yeah, I used most of the veggies up for that. This week's CSA, I'm not the one who separates the CSA order. The 3 other women I share it with, uh-huh. They take it to their office and they divvy it up. Uh-huh. And they just, one of them leaves it on my porch in the morning, uh-huh. the next morning. And so I get there and there's a huge entire head of kale, okay. a single beet, a single piece of kohlrabi. I think I'm saying that right. And what else was there? Oh, I think in some peas. And I was like, really, guys, you give me all the kale? And they're like, well, yeah, you're the only one who knows what to do with it. Like, great. That doesn't mean I want it. I have kale in my garden. I have kale from a friend who went out of town for 2 weeks and he gave me all the kale from his garden. I'm kaled out at the moment. That being said, today or tomorrow, I'm going to make this cool recipe. I made it a few weeks ago, and it was surprisingly really good. Like, it was a vegan recipe, and I know it's good when the love of my life, who is a meat and potatoes kind of guy, has a second helping of it and is like, this is so awesome.
Excellent. Let's hear this recipe.
No, it's good. So it's a recipe from Oshi Glows. It's a vegan cookbook. Okay. But it's a lemon tahini sauce, like a dressing, which is tahini is a sesame paste kind of, and some lemon zest, I think, was in it, a little bit of olive oil and nutritional yeast, which is kind of a, it can be used as a thickener. A lot of vegan recipes use nutritional yeast in macaroni and cheese recipes because it has that yellowish color, and it's also a good thickener.
Do you just quickly want to tell people what lemon zest is if they don't know?
Oh, well, lemon zest is the very outer side of the lemon, and you need a zester for it, and you just kind of very quickly rub the lemon on the zester, and you have those beautiful little yellow flakes. You never want to get down to the pith part, which is the, I guess, the ivory-colored, the soft part, but using lemon zest will brighten up just about anything. It's a great thing to do, to use for just kind of, like if you need any brightness in something, it's great for homemade dressings, sauces. It's really awesome.
So wait, can't you just use the like smaller side of a cheese grater? Okay. And
not,
then
not
you're
really.
Talking about the outside, the peel, just in case people don't understand.
Yeah, just the peel.
Right.
Okay. Just the yellow part.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah, and so that's the dressing. And then what you do is you take lentils and you make them separately, you know, so you simmer them in the water for 30 minutes or whatever according to your lentil directions. Okay. And then you do the same with quinoa or farro or some grain. And so I made it with green lentils and quinoa, so it would also be gluten-free. And then you do onions and garlic and red pepper and kale or spinach, and you saute all that in some olive oil, and then you fold in the, which means just literally add in the quinoa and the lentils and mix it all together and add the dressing, and then you serve it warm, and it is like one of the most hearty, delicious meals ever, which is also a great garbage dump recipe. Like, that's the thing with recipes, you don't have to stick to them to a T. I know a lot of people are uncomfortable cooking, and so following a recipe to a T is useful to them. But what I usually do is follow a recipe pretty closely the first time, and then I play with it. And playing with it can mean something easily as, you know, oh, I'm going to add some zucchini and broccoli to my vegetable mix. Or, you know what, I'm going to use Swiss chard instead of kale. Like, knowing what's interchangeable makes your ability to follow a recipe or use a recipe a lot easier, I think, and a lot more universal. Mm-hmm. I was just talking about this with some ladies last night at dinner. We have a group of friends, and we have Indian food night sometimes. Yeah, so, and there's only recently been an Indian restaurant in Missoula. And so we all go up there for dinner, and they are all part of the CSA that I do. Mm-hmm. And so they're like, would you please talk about how to, like, open your fridge and, like, make something? Like, how do we use what we have?
I think you should make a cookbook called The Garbage Dump Method.
No, because there is a woman out there who makes dump recipes, and people pay money for her cookbooks, and I think they're total crap. Because it's like, oh, let's take a can of this and a can of that and a can of that, and that's... is gross to me. But yes, like, you could do something with it vegetable wise or, you know, produce wise, but still, it's, oh, it drives me nuts that she's making money off of that idea.
How about the kitchen sink? Isn't that what other people say?
You could do that. Yeah.
Everything.
But yeah,
the
they're like,
sink?
You know, at this point I have so much stuff in my freezer that I've stocked up over the winter so that now that it's summertime, I don't have to spend 4 hours in the kitchen.
Ooh.
Making meals. You know, I can take out the bag of meatballs that I made 6 months ago and reheat a few of them on the stove and then add them to a salad or make a sandwich out of them. Or, you know, just quickly heat up some noodles and make a quick spaghetti and meatball situation.
That's a great idea.
Because... Yeah, so, like, 'cause any meatball recipe, it'll make you 5 or 6 dozen meatballs. Which you, unless you have a family of 10 people, you're never going to get through before they go bad. So I think it's just great to make that huge batch and, you know.
Because people always talk about, you know, freezing things from the summer for winter, but that's like the flip side, freezing things in the winter for summer. And like for someone like me who likes to cook on my wood stove a lot in the winter, and that's part of, you know, we like to heat the house with either, even if we use the propane oven, you know, you're heating your house in your winter and then you wouldn't be heating it in the summer.
Exactly.
Those are awesome tips.
Exactly. So, and I love to cook in the wintertime because, you know, when it's crappy, I think that's why I cooked so much when we lived in Cutbank.
Oh, uh-huh.
Like, what the heck am I going to do? I'm not going to go outside. I'm sorry.
Right? And people are always like, oh, the sun shines over here. And I'm like, great, the sun shines, but the wind's whipping and it's so cold. You can't be outside.
It's 30 below.
Anyway, and you can't even drive anywhere because your car's like blowing so bad. You're scared you're going to roll over.
Well, that's just you. That's... I know. No, because I mean, I would come home from school, take the dogs for a run, and then I would stay in and cook the rest of the night, because what else was there to do on Cutbank if you weren't involved in church or anything? And so I do the same thing in winter here. Like, that's my cooking time a lot. And I don't know how to cook for just one or two people. I cook in bulk.
Me too.
You know, anything. I think it's partly because at any given moment, when I was single, I would invite like five people over for dinner. Like, oh, hey, I made this big thing. Come over and eat. And so I don't have it in me to cook for just myself. I always make way more than I need to. Mm-hmm. And so in the past year or two, I've started freezing stuff so that, you know, oh, hey, we don't really want to go out to eat. We just were skiing all day. You know, oh, I can go grab some chorizo chili out of the fridge. And or out of the freezer and just reheat it on the stove and here's dinner. You know, I think that's, and you're right, like so many people are adamant about canning and freezing stuff from the garden in the summertime in August and September when that's the last time of the year I want to have my stove on to do canning.
Right.
Which I will.
Right.
But I'm not going to be happy about it. But like, why not take some of those long winter months and save up for when you know you're going to want to be outside playing.
Right, plus it's dark in Montana.
Yeah.
And everywhere. Like, my mom always complains about the dark. Yeah.
Like, I remember in Cutbank, it would be dark when we'd get to school for our whole 35-minute commute.
Right.
Well, 35-mile commute, which was sometimes an hour commute when you had to ride the rumble strip through the blizzard just to get home. And yeah, like it was dark when we left our house and it was dark when we got home at 4:30 in the afternoon. It was ridiculous. So, yeah. So basically, freeze what you can, label it, date it. I like to lay things down flat, like use big gallon Ziploc freezer bags, write down what they are, and then I'll put them in flat in the freezer so that once they're frozen, I can stand them up on their sides, kind of like a library. If that makes sense.
Excellent.
And you can kind of, you can store a lot more that way.
Nice.
But that with soups and sauces, those are some of the easiest things to freeze. You know, marinara sauce, any kind of soup you want to make. The meatballs are great. But that way, if you're making soup or whatever, all you have to do is have some bread on hand or make a quick salad to go with it. You know, it's really easy, simple meals to redo.
Cool.
Yeah.
Did we finish everything about the kale recipe? Because we kind of got off on a tangent there.
We totally did. Yeah, that
was. Okay. Okay, cool.
Yeah, it's supposed to be served warm, which we ate it warm, but I think it would be really great cold too.
Like a salad type of thing?
Yeah, and that's that's another thing. Like, with the bounty that is summer harvest right now, like, I mean, I try to have a container of lentils in the fridge at all times and a container of farro or quinoa or something at all times.
Okay. What is farro? I have never heard of them.
Farro is another grain. I first read about it in a Sunset magazine a few years ago that had a salad. But you cook it much like you would quinoa or barley. You know, bring it to a boil and then let it simmer for 30 minutes. With a lid on, and then you drain the water off of it. And yeah, it's a really great cold grain. I like to use it in salads just to make it a little heartier.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, to do that, and then, you know, whatever vegetables you have sitting around.
Okay, I got to ask one quick more question. Yeah. So then is it like a gluten-free option for people?
Farro is not gluten-free.
Okay. I'm glad I asked then.
Quinoa is a great gluten-free option. Mm-hmm. And then I'm Googling right now if farro is gluten-free. I don't think it is. Farro is not gluten-free, but it is considerably lower in gluten than wheat.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, there you go. But it's one of those, you know, whole grains that you should be eating, according to those people.
Okay.
Whoever those people may be, the omniscient they. And so what? So, yeah, I like to have it around, like, and making homemade dressing. I can't tell you when the last time was that I bought a store-bought dressing.
Like a salad dressing?
Yeah. Because I just make it myself. Oh, I do. There is one dressing I do buy. It's Lighthouse Chunky Blue Cheese. But I only buy it every once in a while because I have been known to eat it with a spoon out of the container. It is my secret shame. One of two culinary secret shames. Eating blue cheese the dressing. Other? I think we'll save the other okay. for another cool. podcast.
Cool.
Because it's bad.
Okay.
It might discount everything I've ever said about vegetables.
That's okay. You know what I was curious about, like, and maybe this will be for another episode. So there's no meat in your lasagna. It's a vegetable lasagna.
Yeah, that was a vegetable. It was a vegetarian lasagna.
Okay.
I definitely make meat lasagna. Plenty, but that was just a, oh, hey, I have all these veggies in the house I need to use up, so that's what I'm going to do.
Okay. I think lasagna's on the mind. My best friend just told me yesterday, she's like, why don't you make a lasagna? I was trying to think of something to make for Mike. So yeah, must be on people's minds right now.
Well, it's been so cold here, Jackie. It's only 80 degrees.
Well, that was my next thing I was going to say. I always think of lasagna as a winter food. I never think of making it in the summer.
Same here, but yeah, it was Saturday. I think it was like a high of 70 and it had been pouring rain all day. Mm-hmm. So I was like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make lasagna.
You know what I use in my lasagna also, is beet greens.
Ooh, nice.
Lasagna. That's a good way to use up your beet greens.
Yeah. Beet greens and I have a love hate relationship.
Oh, really?
Okay. I realize that we can use them in pretty much anything, but I choose not to.
Well, you know, I think I was a rabbit in a past life. I mean, I'll eat just about any vegetable. There's nothing. I love them and I love them more and more, you know, just everything. So that's me.
Yeah, it's pretty delicious. Yeah, make lasagna before it's 95 degrees again and you don't want to go outside because it's too hot. Mm-hmm. Which is also why I try to do my cooking in the morning, unless it is a rainy day like that, mm-hmm. just so that I have the oven off by the time it's the hottest part of the day.
Mm-hmm. I like to get my cooking over with in the morning. It's kind of like exercise. I'm much more likely to cook if I do it in the morning.
If I do it up later. Thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And especially with a wood stove, when you get used to, because we, for a long time, it seems like that was all we had. I mean, I can make anything on a wood stove. I can bake muffins, cookies, cakes, you name it. I have like a kind of a special technique for just inverting a lid and making like a little mini oven on there. And so, and we, like, this is the first summer we usually have a fire at our house in the mornings, at least a paper fire into July, most of it. Yeah. And then, but not this summer, but usually.
And you haven't had to do it?
No, no.
Yeah, that sounds about right for right now. Mm-hmm. What else? Any other questions or anything? I mean,
what are you drinking with your lasagna?
Oh, I was like, right now I'm drinking coffee, but what? Oh, I had, I don't even know what kind of wine it was. I had some friends, Kelly and Ryan, get married a few weeks ago, and I catered all their desserts, mm-hmm. and was also their wedding coordinator for the day of, and I did it mm-hmm. as a favor, but they gave me a case of wine as a thank you.
Oh my goodness.
Leftover wine from the wedding. So whatever it was that they had, all that I know that it had a screw top. It was really great. But I remember I was unpacking the wine at the wedding. I was like, oh my God, these are all screw tops. That's brilliant. Totally is. Like, save so much time at a wedding. And I mean, you could get such great wines now that are screw tops that aren't, you know, okay, gross. And so, yeah, there's a pro tip for all of you brides out there. Get yourself some screw top wedding wine, and it makes life a whole lot easier.
Okay, cool. Yeah. All right, that's a good way to end our show today.
I like it. All right. So also in the last week, I have started a Kitchen in Missoula Facebook page. For anybody who'd care to, I'd love it if you went and liked it. I'll be posting recipes, information on the takeout meals when we're gearing up and getting ready to go. So yeah.
And probably cool tips and little snippets like you just gave us.
Yes, indeed.
So, all right. Well, make sure you like Marissa's Facebook page, The Kitchen in Missoula.
Thank you, Jackie.
Thanks, Marissa. Thank you for listening to the Organic Gardener Podcast. I'd like to encourage you to visit our website at awesomemontana.com. That's just AWESOMEMONTANA.com. Like awesome Montana, all spelled out. And click on Mike's Green Garden and the Organic Gardener Podcast, and it will link right to the show notes and all the things we've talked about on today's show. Thanks again for listening, and grow local.